From the Jackalope Studios high above the city in beautiful Zona Rosa, welcome to Minutes to Memories, reconnecting spirit, mind, and body with your host, Dr. Daryl Drumright.
Hey, everybody. I'm honored to get the Labor Day weekend started here at Harmony Health Systems and on Jackalope Radio here in Kansas City North. This is Dr. Drumright. You can get a hold of me at harmonyhealth.com or listen to these shows at jackaloperadio.com. Call the office at 816-436-9355. I would love to shake your hand and meet you in person. Tonight, we've got a busy show. We're going to continue our exploration of the Tao Te Ching. We're going to go into verse 10 and 11. I think you'll like those. Then we're going to hit a couple current events. Some recent research has come out that may throw a curve in everybody out there who thinks they're eating healthy, but come to find out you're not. And another curveball about some energy efficient things that you were told were good for you that may not be so good for you. And then we're going to finish the show with a story about the Rainbow Warriors and a traditional American legend that seems to be coming true, and I'm going to have an invitation for anyone out there who wants to join me and join a revolution to put this world back on course to love and light away from the fear and darkness that we seem to be going so far down into. So let's get started with the Tao Te Ching, interpretations by Ralph Ellen Dale. Please, if you like this radio show and these verses I'm reading, I highly recommend buying the book, hardback copy. I think you can get it at Barnes & Noble. It's called the Tao Te Ching, T-A-O space T-E space C-H-I-N-G, a new translation and commentary by Ralph Ellen Dale. Excellent book. If you've been listening, you know that. Verse number 10, title of the verse, Limitations. When embracing the unity of mind, body, emotions, and spiritual being, can we transcend our fragmentations without leaving a trace? When Qigong sculpts sinew suppleness, can our flesh become soft as a newborn babe? Can we cleanse the inner vision, leaving mind in spiritual purity? Can our affairs of the heart and our affairs of state be so unconditional that we grant unqualified permissibility? Can the gate to yin be opened without inviting yang? Can our reasoning mind be purged of coercion, allowing our heart its unfettered joy? Can we act like every other species, seeking no reward, taking no pride, guiding without enslaving? Such is our vision of the great integrity on whose path we have at last planted both feet, ready to move step by step until we arrive at the great unfettered gate. Commentary by Dr. Dale. There are two principal implications about our limitations in this hymn to the great integrity. One, the universal limitations of reality are relative rather than absolute. The answer to every question posed in this verse is therefore no, because nothing exists in its pure ideal form, and because there can be no yin without its opposite yang. Two, however, the conditions that define our time as the age of transition lead us to answer these questions with a qualified yes. We can now begin this journey, but our generations will never be able to fully actualize the great integrity. Specifically, we can begin the transformation from fragmentation to holism. Stanza 1. From the shallow breath that hastens the aging of bodies to the Qigong breath that rejuvenates us. Stanza 2. From the superficial and toxic games our minds now play to the inner visions of our intuitive consciousness, stanza 3. From the typical manipulations and machinations of our intimate relations and our institutions to unconditional loving in our personal relations and non-coercive administration of our institutions. That's a mouthful. I'm going to read that again. From the typical manipulations and machinations of our intimate relations and our institutions to unconditional loving in our personal relations and non-coercive administration of our institutions. To go from demanding and expectation to one of just expressing love and understanding. From a life whose decisions are generated by yang coercive commands to a life which flows through yin nurturing. From self-serving left-brain traditional rationalization to a more holistic right-brain joy. From a self-aggrandizing reward-seeking behavior to a more altruistically generated lifestyle. We are at that point. We've come to a crux. We've watched the egotistical Western world reach its climax, and it's right in front of our face. The question that we have is, do we as a generation have the courage to look it in the eye and realize that there is a new way? Let me finish this because my mind's already going off on different things that we talked. I thought about this week. So verse number 11, the importance of what is not. Now, there's 81 verses in this, and over the last 2 months, we've just covered 11 verses. So as the radio show evolves, I'm going to continue this part of the radio show, and the other two branches of the radio show will be moving into other topics. So number 11, the importance of what is not. We join 30 spokes to the hub of a wheel, yet it's the center hole that drives the chariot. We shape clay to birth a vessel, yet it's the hollow within that makes it useful. We chisel doors and windows to construct a room, yet it's the inner space that makes it livable. Thus, do we create what is to use what is not. Commentary. It may seem that Lao Tzu in this verse advocates what is not over what is. Similarly, he seems to advocate not doing over doing. It would appear that he announces nothingness as the goal of life. To make a pun, nothing could be further from his intent. In fact, he celebrates the maximal doing with the minimum effort. Lao Tzu nothingness is not a reference to the absence of content, but rather to the absence of aggression. He does not worship inaction, sleep, death, or the withdrawal from a responsible life. In this verse, although he focuses on the inactive part as being most functional, clearly there would be no inactive part without having created the other parts. There is no center hole without making the spokes and hub, no hollow in the vessel without making the vessel, no inner space without constructing the walls, doors, and windows that define it. Lao Tzu rather reminds us that there is always a yin, the passive and empty component, that coexists with the yang, the active and shaping component. The two together provide the means to total action, total responsibility, lifefulness, and lovefulness. He focuses on the yin component in this verse as a metaphor for establishing the greater relative importance of nurturing yin compared to acting yang, which is often expressed as aggression. More specifically, the main reason we tend to forget or denigrate the yin part of all processes is that the yang part in our lives has become dominant and excessive, tending to express itself as coercion. This condition has defined our lives since ancient times. Only the forms of coercion have changed, but to divorce aggression from action does not leave emptiness, but the space for natural action, that action whose mother is our humanity and whose father is necessity, and which therefore is born in full innocence. Lao Tzu is an advocate of effortless effort and contentless content. Paradoxes which imply that our experience of effort usually embraces coercion and the content of this effort is usually excessive. We have lived in the bosom of manipulative relations so long that we can barely imagine work without the threat of unemployment, morality without the threat of God-given punishments, and honesty without the threat of laws and their enforcements. We are so uncompromisingly conditioned to these hegemonic relations that they seem to us like inherent expressions of reality rather than conditions that violate our human natures. Can we imagine a world beyond wealth and poverty, power and powerlessness, health and sickness, beauty and ugliness, intelligence and stupidity, fullness and emptiness? By placing our attention on the yin, Lao Tzu reminds us that there is such a soft, natural world and that we can enter it when we dissolve the power structures and premises that create these dichotomies. He reminds us that our humanity is beyond all these dichotomies, beyond all the separations that alienate us from nature, from each other, and from our own nature. Similarly, although enlightenment requires thoughtlessness as an emptying out process, Lao Tzu does not advocate emptying the mind as the ultimate goal, but rather as a means of cleansing it of its garbage and of preparing it for more holistic, more human, and less alienated content. This distinction between ends and means separate Lao Tzu's revolutionary leaps in consciousness from some fetish, which mistake the cleansing process for an ultimate goal. It is one thing to become aware of the hole in the wheel, the hollow in the glass, the space in the house. It is quite another to drive the chariot that has a hole but no hub, to drink from a glass that has a hollow but nothing to contain it, or to live in a house that has space without walls. Lao Tzu's paradoxes transcend the myopic oversimplifications and rationalizations of the market mentality without ever sacrificing the down-to-earth practicalities of life. I read these words, and then I go through what I've been studying with the Native American words as well, and the overlay is tremendous, inspiring, and just sometimes stunning, because the words of the elders in the Native American culture and the words of the elders of the Chinese culture are almost identical in their expression and their flow. That was very nice. Todd, were we ready for first break? Okay, let's take a break now, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about current events for a while.
You are here.
Jackalope 105 FM.
Okay, we're back. This is Dr. Drumright, and happy Labor Day weekend. Coming to you from Harmony Health Systems and Jackalope Radio. All right, we're going to move to the news section, some highlight news. So anybody out there trying to straighten out their life and trying to eat right and do the green thing, well, I got a couple articles for you here. First of all, have you ever heard of agave sweetener? In the health food sections and the word on the town, people have been asking me about this. Like, what do you think about this new agave stuff, man? It's supposed to be really good for you. It's all natural, organic sweetener. And I didn't know much about it, so I kind of try to keep my opinion to myself, believe it or not, if I haven't done the research yet. So I looked it up a little bit, and one of my favorite sources is a man named Dr. Mercola. I don't know, anybody else out there in the circles knows it about Dr. Mercola. And Dr. Mercola did looked up this agave stuff, and he did hired a lab to run assays on what's in this stuff. And come to find out, natural agave products, are they any better than high fructose corn syrup? You've heard me talk about high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup, I call it cancer fertilizer, because we know the markers on the cells of cancer really like that fructose, and they suck it up and grow rapidly in that kind of environment. Well, guess what, folks? Processed agave, which most anything you're going to buy in the grocery store is the pasteurized processed stuff. He tested three different name brand products, Now Foods, Madhava Agave Nectar, and Wholesome Sweetener Organic Blue Agave. Percentage fructose of high fructose corn syrup is 55% free-floating fructose, totally dissociated from glucose. This is also the case in nearly all the lower quality agave products, as they are highly processed. Some of the highly quality, this is from his article, higher quality agave products may be processed in a way that preserves the fructose bonding and thus sometimes limits its damage. So here we go. Now Foods, 59.1% free fructose. Madhava Agave, 63.8% free fructose. Remember what I said about high fructose corn syrup? It was 55% free fructose. Wholesome Sweetener Organic Blue Agave, 67% free fructose. Now, this tells you that the agave nectars, the processed agave nectars you're buying out there, are actually, for diabetics and people that have any sensitivity to these sugars at all, worse, not better, worse than high fructose corn syrup. Bummer. Just when you think you can go out of the kitchen, whammo, here comes the actual truth behind the matter. So, this and all other aspects, if you like sweet stuff, the best thing you can do is stick with whole plants. Now, agave, as far as where it comes from, I'm sure the whole plant is going to have the fructose bound up in what we call complex carbs, which are not nearly as dangerous to you than free fructose like this. But for my money, if I need a sweetener in my coffee or anything else that, it's good old cane sugar. I don't like sugar beet sugar. Well, actually, Monsanto, I talked about it last week. A judge in California has upheld the stopping the use of GMO Monsanto sugar beets because they didn't do the environmental studies on it. And this judge is saying, you know, we're not only going to suspend this, we're going to prevent you from planting it again until you do the studies that you should have done before you even put this in production. The interesting thing is this season's sugar beets for Mounds and Almond Joy and all your candy bars out there are being allowed to be harvested. So you're going to have 1 year of Roundup pesticide soaked sugar beets in all your candy. So if there's ever time to stop eating candy, now is it. And maybe next year we can talk them into going back to a cane sugar. So agave is not what it's cracked up to be. Look for sweeteners, anything that's natural, non-processed as much as possible. You mean you've got your maple syrups, you've got honeys. These have fructose in them as well, but the less processed, the better, just like anything else. No pasteurization, no homogenization, just right from the farm, like raw milk. Raw milk from the farm, good. Pasteurized milk, bad. So it's not the food that's bad. It's the chemical processing and the certifications and the licensing and all the stuff that they're doing to the food and transporting it is bad. I heard another study today on strawberries that they did a 2-year study on organic strawberries versus normal manufactured strawberries to see if they really were better or not. Come to find out, the organic strawberries have a better than 10% increase of vitamin C over your manufactured strawberries. And even more importantly, the soil that the organics are grown in is much better as far as its biological activity, its bacterial activity, and the different things that are in the soil. So growing the process of growing organic food is even better than the benefits you get off the food. The food can be slightly better and more tasty, but the left behind soil of an organically produced farm is outstanding. It leaves the soil in good shape for future generations, which is what we're after here. We're not trying to sustain things for our old age. We're trying to sustain things for the next 7 generations. And I hope everybody keeps that in mind with all their actions. All right, so there's the myth of agave. Please be careful of processed foods. We got another one for you. The Curly Q light bulbs. You know those new light bulbs that everybody's talking about? The compact fluorescent light bulbs that Mr. Obama's been promoting and they're talking about buying? Well, I bet you've already heard the rumors that these things have mercury in them. So do not break them. Do not inhale the powder that comes out of them if you actually do break them. And you have to have a hazmat team to throw them away. You don't throw them away. You have them recycled and you call a government certified agent to come get these things out of your house. So that's bad enough. But then a Canadian study researched the amount of electromagnetic field coming off of these light bulbs. And they took an EMF detector, kind of like a Geiger counter. Todd, you probably use things like this when you're doing your ghost hunting and stuff. You look for EMF fields. So they took this EMF field, and they put a background EMF field in an apartment that only had the refrigerator running, and it ran at about 35 to 38 gauze, I think, or what is the measurement on the EMFs. And then they turned on an incandescent light, and it didn't change a bit. Those are the old light bulbs that we've used for dozens of years and decades, those glass light bulbs. And then they turned on a halogen light bulb, and it didn't show any EMF changes as well. But then they turned on a compact fluorescent light bulb, and the emitter or the test device went from 34 to 834. This is emitting EMF field that's dangerous. And actually, they talked to an expert in this study who said that they've actually done research with school-age children. And when people are exposed to high levels of EMFs from these light bulbs, you can actually, moment by moment, watch the blood sugars rise in these people. It causes temporary diabetes while you're exposed to EMF radiation. And they said they can totally predict it, that if you take the EMF out and let the person sit in a clean environment for a while, their blood sugar goes back down. You start exposing them to the EMF again, the blood sugar just ramps up and elevates. And even worse is this is a cumulative effect. For as many bulbs as you have in your house, they compile and add on to each other. So you're walking around in a poisonous environment and your light bulbs are causing diabetes. What a crazy world we live in.
That's what kind of bulbs I use.
You know, you got, Todd, you got all the EMF bulbs. You went out and bought all those Curly Q bulbs.
And
the little swirly colored ones?
Yeah.
Do you have an EMF detector, radiation detector?
Yeah, I do.
Well, hold it up next to one of those things, but don't get mad and break it because it's full of mercury. So.
Like, I use red ones because mice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the mice like those.
Neutral.
Well, look at it. Well, here's the good news is there is a new form of lighting out there. It's LED lights. Okay, what does LED stand for? It's something about light emitting diode. Okay, I think it's in your computer screens and your cell phones and stuff like that. Well, the light emitting diode light bulbs emit no EMF. They're very very gentle on the EMF field. They're highly efficient. They last longer than the compact fluorescents, and they're clean in energy wise and highly efficient and a very nice clean light that they put off. So, if you haven't made the investment for compact fluorescent lights, don't go straight to an LED light or a halogen light. And then if you have made the investment and bought these, and they're relatively expensive. I mean, I've seen them in the store. Honestly, I've only got one in my house. It's in my fart closet up in the upstairs. I think I'm going to take it out. I know I'm going to take it out, but I'm not going to. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I guess I got to take it and get it recycled or something like that, someplace special. So I'm getting that out of my house, and I recommend everybody do the same thing. The complex fluorescent lights is a no-go. The processed agave syrup is also a no-go. So this is the world we live in. These are the things that we have to deal with. So that is my current events. Organic strawberries, good. Organic food, good. Now, one thing I don't like about organic food, personally, I am a fan of locally grown, natural food. I recommend everybody find a farmer in their community and go start supporting your locally grown farmers. Organic just means government's got involved and they're certifying it. And it may, obviously, it improves the quality, but it also drastically improves the price because of all the certifications and the hoops you have to jump to. And as a doctor, you're very used to that because of all the certifications and these kind of things. I talked to a lab tech the other day, and you know, something that would cost in a normal business $50, because it's a medical business and the FDA and everybody else gets involved, it's going to cost $500. So I was asking why computer prices keep going down, but yet medical expenses keep going up. And his comment, and very rightfully so, is because of government interference in medical devices increase the cost exponentially because of the additional certification needs, the additional registration needs, and the testing parameters, which, because they're trying to protect the people instead of letting free information out for the people can make their own decisions, which would be a much cheaper, much more healthy situation. All right. Well, that's that segment, Todd. You want to ready for the next commercial break? And then we'll move on to the next segment. Everybody grab another cold one. Happy Labor Day. This is Dr. Drumright. Catch you in a minute.
Tried to say I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break your heart. Find you waiting up by the light of day. There's a lot I wanna tell ya, but I don't know where to start. And I don't know what to do if you walked away. Ooh, baby, I tried to make it. I just got lost along the way. But every time I look at you, no matter what I'm going through, it's easy to see. Every time I hold you, the things I never told you seem to come easily. 'Cause you're everything to me. Would soon be ended. I thought it wouldn't matter if it all just came apart. But now I realize I was just pretending. Ooh, baby, I know I hurt you, but you can still believe in me. 'Cause every time I look, no matter what I'm going through, it's easy to see. Every time I hold you, the things I never told you seem to come easily. 'Cause you're everything to me. It's gonna take a little time to show you. going through, it's easy to see. Every time I hold you, the things I never told you seem to come easily. 'Cause you're everything to me. You're everything to me. You're everything to me.
Jackalope 105 FM.
Hey, this is Dr. Drumright coming to you from Harmony Health Systems, Jackalope Radio FM. This is, we're going to move in the last segment of my radio show into a topic that's fairly new to me, but really dear to my heart. I tell you, I've been researching things for more than 25 years to try to find the truth of things, and that's why I discovered chiropractic and acupuncture and all the things that I do in my clinic. And recently, a friend of mine led me to begin studying the wisdom of the Native American elders and the tragedy of what happened to them in the last couple hundred years. And I tell you, putting that up in the face of my friends that are fighting for freedom, but yet are carrying a lot of European concepts forward and wanting to save America for themselves, I keep reminding them that they're really not the original Americans, and that they're, when they're trying to kick out the Muslims and have all these kind of European struggles, that they got to think twice about that, because there was somebody here before they were even here. And from these people, I'm going to read you tonight a legend of the Rainbow Warriors, and this is going to bring us up to current moment and where the Native philosophy is today, and I think you'll enjoy this a lot. There was an old lady from the Cree tribe named Eyes of Fire, who prophesied that one day, because of white man's greed, there would come a time when the fish would die in the streams, the birds would fall from the air, the waters would be blackened, and the trees would no longer be. Mankind, as we would know it, would all but cease to exist. There would come a time when the keepers of the legends, stories, cultural rituals, and myths and of all the ancient tribal customs would be needed to restore us to health. They would be mankind's key to survival. They were the warriors of the rainbow. There would come a day of awakening when all the people of all the tribes would form a new world of justice, peace, freedom, and recognition of the Great Spirit. The warriors of the rainbow would spread these messages and teach all peoples of the earth. They would teach them how to live the way of the Great Spirit. They would tell them of how the world today has turned away from the Great Spirit, and that is why our earth is sick. The warriors of the rainbow would show the people that this ancient being, the Great Spirit, is full of love and understanding, and teach them how to make the earth beautiful again. These warriors would give the people principles or rules to follow to make their path right with the world. These principles would be those of the ancient tribes. The warriors of the rainbow would teach the people of the ancient practices of unity, love, and understanding. They would teach of harmony among people in all four corners of the earth. Like the ancient tribes, they would teach the peoples how to pray to the Great Spirit with love that flows like the beautiful mountain streams and flows along the path to the ocean of life. Once again, they would be able to feel joy in solitude and in councils. They would be free of petty jealousies and love all mankind as their brothers, regardless of color, race, or religion. They would feel happiness enter their hearts and become as one with the entire human race. Their hearts would be pure and radiate warmth, understanding, and respect for all mankind, nature, and the Great Spirit. They would once again fill their minds, hearts, souls, and deeds with the purest of thoughts. They would seek the beauty of the Master of Life, the Great Spirit. They would find strength and beauty in prayer and the solitudes of life. Their children would once again be able to run free and enjoy the treasures of nature and Mother Earth, free from the fears of toxins and destruction wrought by the greed and his practices. The rivers would again run clear and the forests be abundant and beautiful. The animals and birds would be replenished. The powers of the plants and animals would again be respected, and conservation of all that is beautiful would become a way of life. The poor, sick, and needy would be cared for by their brothers and sisters of the earth. These practices would again become a part of their daily lives. The leaders of the people would be chosen in the old way, not by their political party, or who could speak the loudest, boast the most, or by name-calling or mudslinging, but by those whose actions spoke the loudest. Those who demonstrated their love, wisdom, and courage, and those who showed that they could and did work for the good of all, would be chosen as the leaders or chiefs. They would be chosen by their quality and not the amount of money they had obtained. Like the thoughtful and devoted ancient chiefs, they would understand the people with love and see that their young were educated with the love and wisdom of their surroundings. They would show them that miracles can be accomplished to heal this world of its ills and restore it to health and beauty. The tasks of these warriors of the rainbow are many and great. There will be terrifying mountains of ignorance to conquer, and they shall find prejudice and hatred. They must be dedicated, unwavering in their strength, and strong of heart. They will find willing hearts and minds that will follow them on this road of returning Mother Earth to beauty and plenty once more. The day will come, it is not far away, the day we shall see how we owe our very existence to the people of all tribes that have maintained their culture and heritage. Those that have kept their rituals, stories, and legends and myths alive, it will be with this knowledge, the knowledge that they have preserved, that we shall once again return to harmony with nature, Mother Earth, and mankind. It will be with this knowledge that we shall find our key to our survival. This is the story of the Warriors of the Rainbow, and this is my reason for protecting the culture, heritage, and knowledge of my ancestors. I know that the day Eyes of Fire spoke of will come. I want my children and grandchildren to be prepared to accept this task, the task of being one of the Warriors of the Rainbow. This is found at manataka.org, manataka.org, an organization of Native American Council headquartered in Arkansas. That reading brings me hope. It brings me, in all the darkness and all the complaints and all the complexities that we see in our life, and the money disappearing and the unemployment and the hardships that we're seeing and we'll soon see, in the middle of all that, you see the heart of man coming forward, and the basic core understandings of the goodness of man will step forward and lead with love versus fear. These are the two ways. Now, from that, I've got another letter. This was just hot off the press from the Manitoka headquarters, and I definitely suggest everybody make the trek to the website, manitoka.org, and you'll find a lot of wisdom of the elders there, but you're also going to find invitations to come to Manitoka and actually gain the feeling of the land and the understanding of the Valley of the Mists, where Manitoka is. This is from Grandmother Linda Two Hawk Feathers, James. People of Manitoka, you are the ones who answered the call of the place of peace. That's what Manitoka means, place of peace. It is well and good to seek this place, and it is good to be in this place. But we who have experienced the peaceful feelings that Manitoka can give cannot just stay in that place of peace. We must take an example from the Rainbow Woman who reaches out from the spirit world to us. That is how we begin to seek. Yet there are so many people who may not be sensitive to her invitation because the sounds, sights, and smells of the world block out the spirit. In difficult times, Native people have called on history, ancestors, and the creation creator to teach and guide them to the right path. We have wandered a long, long way from the spirit path. Many of us struggle to learn and honor the red path traditions that are at risk of being lost. Some still live in ancestral lands and know their heritage, yet others do not. Some have chosen to leave that heritage behind. No matter what your situation, my message of ceremony as a ceremony elder is to respond to the call to a ceremony which can spread around the world in one short day. I recently learned of a ceremony that has great potential to inspire people in all parts of our planet. It is called the Ceremony of 8,000 Drums, born in Mexico by one of our Manitoka members. The spirit of the ceremony is to let everyone become a part of giving the drum a voice to speak. The drum speaks with rhythm, and each drum also has a voice, a tone like none other. What is the message? All people on earth need to stop, hear the drum, and consider future generations. We have an opportunity to go back to the path as North American natives, but we also have a higher calling from Creator to awaken the other peoples of earth, not just our Aboriginal peoples. The truth is, we all come from a tribal heritage, but some became a part of imperialism and became colonized long before others. The empire mentality brainwashes people to believe they must leave the nuclear family, leave the clan, leave the tribe to be assimilated, to be imperialized, civilized. It causes people who are civilized come to believe that they can remove children from their primitive homes, not civilized, and take those children to civilized homes. This concept is unthinkable to more agrarian societies because children are essential to the culture and the sole responsibility of their parents. Yet we are still trying to solve our culture's problem by usurping the parental responsibilities because the empire knows better how to lead us and raise children than the parents. This mentality does not consider future generations, but touts a quick fix to societal problems. Isn't that quick fix mentality, that magic bullet mentality that you and I in our generation and down have been totally trained in our whole lives? You know, it's not about trying to find the cause. It's just take a pill and get it over with. It is not a new idea. Thousands of years ago, a prophet of the Hebrews warned the people against their headlong search to form their own empire. They wanted a king, even though up until that time they had said that Creator, who they called Yahweh, was their only ruler. So this is what the prophet Samuel had to say to them. "This will be the manner of the king who shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to him for his chariots and to be his horsemen. And they shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint them to him for captains of thousands and captains of fifties. And he will set some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots." They formed a kingdom which changed their way of life and the way they worshipped and did away with their tribal culture in deference of becoming a kingdom. The Aboriginal people of Earth have a message much like this Hebrew prophet. People of Earth, do you know what you are asking for? The North American culture is leading the people of Earth to believe they need wealth, big houses, cookie-cutter beauty, more land, more electricity, more gasoline, more oil, no matter what the cost. The drums might be able to help people ask themselves, what do I really want for my children to the seventh generation? And that's deep. When you think about your children, not just your children or your children's children, is it possible at our current rate of petroleum usage that the very little will be readily available to people living 200 years from now? Would we continue to level the rainforest, pollute the oceans and air, continue to use petroleum instead of wind, water, and sun for energy needs, and make landfill mountains higher than the surrounding landscape if we were seriously considering our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren who will be living then? This is where the ceremony of 8,000 drums has the potential to make a difference. Imagine a day on Earth where drums are played at noon in every small village, town, suburb, and city. This could be expanded to church bells, alarms, and chimes. All you need to do is take a personal responsibility to get out the word to everyone you know so they can do the same. Yes, the ceremony is a sacred undertaking and should be taken seriously, but to other peoples who choose to participate must decide their level of significance. All we can do is invite everyone, everywhere, to participate. For your consideration, Manitoka's participation in the ceremony could be opened by the world drum when wherever it might be on that particular day. It would be played for a set amount of time and then silenced, so 8,000 drums, at least, would answer the call to speak to all the peoples of the earth. Please respond with your thoughts and suggestions to manitoka@sbcglobal.net, subject 8,000 drums. All right, so I got the newsletter, I got the invitation, and I've done my duty of spreading that information and giving everybody out there that can hear the sound of my voice. We don't have a date set, obviously. I'm going to be contacting them, and I'll be following up on later radio shows, but there's going to be a date set. If you have a dumba, if you have a drum, if you have any kind of musical instrument, it sounds like a bell, a chime, or anything, we're going to set up a day of drumming in honor of the native culture and the native people around the planet. New Zealand, Australia, everywhere. I love that saying that we were all natives at one time or another, and empire expanded and assimilated like the Borg, each one of us at different times.
That's right.
Empire would trace back to the Roman Empire. And on that topic, I do want to leave you with a little viewing advice, a movie that came out last week. It's called The Secret of Oz. And you can go to thesecretofoz.com, SECRETOFOZ.com. It's an important movie about empire and what's happened over the last several thousand years and where we're at today. And it's got some eloquent, wonderful solutions that could solve all of our problems in a very short time if we just have the courage to confront the underlying imbalance that's led us down this path. So if you watch the movie, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit next week. Other than that, Todd, I know we might be a little bit short here. I think I'm pretty much done for the week. So everybody have a good Labor Day weekend. You guys be safe out there. You know, the weather's wonderful here in the Midwest. I hope you're enjoying it, at least the nicest day as we're having. It's 72 degrees, clear and sunny. We deserve it. It's been hot around here. And with all my love and joy to you all, peace out, bro. This is Dr. Drumright, Minutes and Memories.
There's an orchestra.